This is Bristol Bay and Beyond, KDLG's weekly news magazine. It's Friday, January 1st. I'm Dave Benninger. Happy New Year's to you and yours, and thanks for joining us. Coming up this week, we'll ask the National Weather Service for an explanation of this warm, wet weather and see what they think the chances are it'll turn back around.
It's too early to say whether or not this will stick around for the remainder of the winter, but these building blocking ridges that has built over the eastern Pacific, they can last anywhere between weeks or months, and what happened last year is it did last months.
Bristol Bay Borough Mayor Carl Anderson tells us what was memorable in 2015 and what's to come this year, especially amidst tough financial times.
Without challenges like this, we wouldn't have perseverance. And that is what has made our state, and not only our state, but our country, a great place. So it's going to be tough, but, you know, in the long run, it only makes us stronger, and hopefully we'll find new outlets and new ways to get things done.
Katmai National Park and Preserve drove a huge amount of web traffic last year.
So we only get maybe 30,000 people visiting Katmai physically each year, but we get millions and millions of people watching on the webcams, which is quite incredible.
They'll share what their most viewed posting of the year was and offer thoughts on the effect of the increased web visitation. Plus, Dr. Kathy Heineman shares some advice on setting some goals for healthier living in 2016.
Enjoy yourself. Take charge of your own life. Get outside and walk. Eat healthier foods. And feed your soul in some way.
Those stories and more are coming up after a look back at some of the week's news. A shifting weather pattern is funneling North Pacific storms into southern Alaska, bringing warm, wet, and windy weather with them. On the heels of the Christmas Day storm that left some minor damage in Alaska Peninsula communities, another blow whipped through Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. The Weather Service clocked several gusts in Bristol Bay over 100 miles an hour. Gary Nielsen in Kakanak believes the winds were blowing at least 100 for several hours of what he called a wild night.
We didn't get to bed till about 3 or 4, I guess. We're just waiting for the roof to go, but they didn't go, thank goodness. There was a meter base or two ripped off of the walls. Some houses are without power. Several skids flipped over. A few were damaged. Trees were knocked down. My son was down at his house, and the top of a tree broke off and just narrowly missed him, about 20 foot of tree.
The church and cemetery and one of the fish camps in Kakanak were damaged as well. Elsewhere around the bay, container vans were tipped over, windows blown out, and roofing pulled off. The back-to-back storms have wreaked havoc on Togiak's seawall, says City Administrator Daryl Thompson.
For about 1,000 feet of our seawall on the north end of town, the beach has eroded away. The gravel is gone. And in one tide and one storm at 70 knots, we took out 3 foot of gravel from in front of the seawall. And that's basically the seawall starting to collapse.
Thompson estimates it'll cost several million dollars to rebuild the 30-year-old seawall, and the city intends to ask the state for disaster relief. Following a voter initiative in 2014, as of today, the minimum wage in Alaska is now $9.75 an hour. That's up a dollar. The Department of Labor estimates that'll affect about 12,000 workers in the state who will see an estimated $2,000 more per year working full-time at minimum wage. With a new year comes the opportunity to file for a permanent fund dividend, Alaska's annual distribution of oil and wealth. Last year, a record 33,421 Alaskans donated part of their check through PicClickGive. Last night marked the end of the winter moose hunting season in areas 17B and C, and this morning marked the beginning of a 31-day season in 17A north of Togiak. That hunt can also be closed if the quotas of 10 cows and 15 bulls are reached before February 1st. In a decision issued this week, the Alaska Supreme Court said that a ballot initiative to ban commercial set nets in urban areas is not legal. The Alaska Fisheries Conservation Alliance, a Kenai-based group funded largely by sport fishing interests, had proposed the initiative. The justices say the initiative would have resulted in a giveaway program of salmon from set netters to other types of fishers. Investigators have still released a few details surrounding the crash of a Cessna 172 into downtown Anchorage early Tuesday morning. Pilot Doug Demarest, a member of the Civil Air Patrol, was killed when the Cessna struck two buildings, one of which houses law offices, including the one his wife works at. The 4-year-old child of a state trooper in Bethel was killed this week after he accidentally shot himself with a gun he found in the house. And Dillingham police say they're still seeking the public's help in their investigation into two burglaries over two weekends at the Vitus Fuels gas station on Lake Road. More on this week's news can be found at our website, kdlg.org. You're listening to Bristol Bay and Beyond. I'm Dave Benninger. Well, welcome to 2016. I certainly hope it was a safe celebration last night for all. You might have noticed as you're getting up this morning that the weather is, again, uninspiring, to say the least. It's blowing, raining, and warm, and the extended outlook for the next week to 10 days calls for more of the same. This morning, I spoke with meteorologist Rebecca Duell, who had the holiday shift at the National Weather Service office in Anchorage. Well, so here we are in 2016, and our weather is starting to look a whole lot like it did January of 2015, and nobody's too happy about it. What can you sort of tell us about the overall pattern? How can we understand why our winter is abysmal once again, or shaping up to be anyway?
Well, unfortunately for our snow lovers, what we've seen lately is a pattern shift. So the beginning of the winter, it actually looked fairly promising. And then throughout the last few weeks, what we've seen is a shift in the storm track. So the storm track was remaining south of Alaska and kind of keeping the storms out of our area, which is why it was pretty dry conditions, but also very cold because we were keeping those cold temperatures around. Well, over the past week, what's happened is that storm track has shifted back northward into southern Alaska. And that's in part due to a building blocking ridge, is what we call it, a ridge of high pressure that's building over the eastern Pacific and the eastern Gulf of Alaska. And that's what's really shifted this storm track. So now ahead of the ridge, any storms that originate in the northern Pacific are being taken northward and carried northward into southern Alaska. So they're bringing with them a lot of subtropical moisture, warm air, and precipitation, which is unfortunately falling as rain through a lot of southern Alaska. So it's bringing up that warm air, so that's why we're not seeing the snow with it.
Rebecca, would you say this is about the same type of thing we saw last year, or is this a different scenario?
This is very similar to what we saw this time last year, and unfortunately last year it stuck around the entire season. And, of course, gave us record low snowfall numbers. And so, it is looking to set up into that pattern. Now, as far as how long it will last, it's too early to say whether or not this will stick around for the remainder of the winter. And as a snow lover myself, I personally hope it won't. But these blocking ridges that has built over the eastern Pacific, they can last anywhere between weeks or months. And what happened last year is it did last months. And it certainly is added to in part by El Nino, which is the warmer than normal temperatures over the eastern Pacific. So that is adding, that's helping the ridge to really build over the eastern Pacific and stay there. So the El Nino kind of long-term climate pattern doesn't help in suggesting that this pattern might go anytime soon.
Okay. Are you taking any office bets around the NWS Anchorage experts on whether or not this will last?
We've had a lot of talks about it. You know, unfortunately, our models don't go out that far. But for us here in the office, we're definitely holding our breath, kind of waiting with our skis here ready to go.
There are so many good things to do in the winter, and it also hides our blemishes so well when that snow is in place. And we saw them here in Dillingham all come right back this week with all that rain. And one more question. Many of us who have friends and family back down south, we remember hearing from them last year that they got these record cold, snowy winters that we felt was sort of our weather going over to them instead of us. Is that the same scenario that may play out this year?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of all sort of the pattern that sets up when you do have this pattern that we did see with this building ridge, like I said, over the eastern Pacific. What happens then is the cold air, it really goes down over the central United States, and you see the East Coast really tend to, and the central United States tend to get hit with those colder temperatures. So that's what seemed to happen last year. That does look to be setting up this year. It is definitely related to this ridge that we have over the eastern Pacific that is affecting us as well. So it's the same large-scale weather pattern, bringing cold air to them, that's bringing the warm air ahead of that up to us.
All right. Rebecca Duell is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Anchorage. Rebecca, thanks for helping break it down, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, thanks for calling, and have a safe and happy new year, everyone.
I'm Russell Nelson, and I want to wish a happy new year to all the Marines in the United States Marine Corps.
My name is Cameron Bartman. I'm excited to play ball this year. I think we're going to do really good this year.
Jerry McGill. Start a healthier life. I've been trying to eat healthier and get out and walk a little bit and exercise and quit drinking. So just trying to healthy up my life. So
that's awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Convince as many people to vote for Trump as possible to destroy the current status quo and every person who holds it dear.
And I got a laundry list of New Year's resolutions. So
yeah, and I guess please will you just introduce yourself and then give your resolution.
Hi, my name is Nathan Wassily, and born and raised in Dillingham, Alaska. We love it here. I guess for my New Year's resolution, it would be to slow down on the partying, you know. It's never going to go away, so I got to slow down and try to cut down on the tobacco, for sure. And just smile more and have a great New Year. Thank you, Molly.
New Year's resolutions and thoughts from a few folks around Dillingham this week shared with KDLG's Molly Dishner. Here's a story of a teacher and kayaking enthusiast in Onalaska who inspiringly kept his 2015 resolution. KUCB's Greta Mart reports.
Josh Good made an ambitious New Year's resolution last January to kayak in the waters surrounding Onalaska for at least 30 minutes on 300 days during 2015. That meant dragging his kayak into the chilly waters anywhere from Morris Cove to Nantiquin Bay in all seasons and conditions. Part of his time spent on the water included a summertime kayaking trip around Glacier Bay National Park. Last week, Good made good on his resolution. On December 22nd, his 300th day on the water, he paddled for an hour and 25 minutes in windy conditions from Unalaska Bay to Margaret Bay. Some non-kayaking friends met Good on the Grand Aleutian Hotel beach to cheer his accomplishment. During the year, Good kept a detailed daily log and strapped a GoPro on his kayak to document his efforts. Good says that the most notable change physically from all that kayaking was not buffed out shoulders.
I think the biggest change was my hands, like just holding the paddle all the time. Like the first couple weeks, my hands were really tired.
He says he was inspired to take up his kayaking quest after a friend of his made a similar pledge.
My friend last year had a New Year's resolution to run every day of the year, and he did it. So that's kind of the inspiration for my kayaking every day. Like, I've learned now that you can paddle just about every day, regardless of the weather. Yeah, so I set a goal for 300. I figured that was feasible.
Good is married to a local marine biologist and teaches fifth grade at Onalaska's Eagles View Elementary. He says it was hard simply finding enough time in his busy day to get out on the water before darkness fell. And since this area is called the birthplace of the wind, it was that element that was his most formidable opponent. As long as the front of his kayak was pointed into the wind, it was fine. He could fight a windy blast for the 15 minutes it took to get out to Hog Island, then turn around and surf all the way back.
But the gusts, they come from all the different directions, and it's the worst when they are doing that and they're swirling around. So you'll be bracing, kind of leaning towards into the wind with one shoulder, and then a gust will come from the opposite way, and you're already leaning, and it just doesn't turn out well.
In 300 days, he didn't get dunked once. There was only one incident near Little South America in Captain's Bay when he had to scramble out of his kayak onto some rocks or risk a battering. So now that Good has fulfilled his 2015 resolution, what's up for 2016?
I haven't thought of a good one yet, so we'll see. This is the first New Year's resolution that I've really followed through on, you know, thought about past January 3rd.
Reporting in Onalaska, I'm Greta Mart.
We're going to bring you short interviews from area elected officials about their thoughts on 2015 and what's ahead for this year. We begin this week with Carl Anderson, who is in his first term as mayor of the Bristol Bay Borough. I spoke with Mayor Anderson earlier this week.
You know, 2015, it seemed like it was a pretty decent year. I mean, there's a lot going on in the state now. And, they're trying to make a big dark cloud about it, but, you know, you just got to look at the upside. We had a terrific fishing season. Not a very good fishing price, but you know that goes up and down with every year. So, I think the biggest thing we've seen and the best thing we've seen was a huge sockeye return to the whole Bristol Bay area of 58 million sockeye. and 35.7 million harvested. I mean, that's the second best in over 20 years.
Biologically, it's hard not to just be thrilled at this, you know, the size of that run, but everybody came away a little bit depressed based on the price, and I'm sure that took a little bit of a toll on the borough's finances. Is that the case?
You know, we didn't see what, you know, we normally see and what we'd like to see, but, you know, it's just another year, and we just got to move on, you know, tighten our belts if we have to, and, you know, we'll get through it. I know we're looking forward to another huge prediction of fish, but hopefully the price will go up a little bit. And if not, you know, we've always got the next year.
You've got Trident's new fish meal plant online. That's got to be good for the borough.
It sounds like it's going to be great for the borough. I think this first year that they had it up here in 2015 was more of a test run for them. And, you know, I think in the outcome of it all, where everybody's going to be pretty happy with it. I mean, it's going to create a little more money and save a little more product.
Okay. Schools, sports, drug problem. What else do you remember from 2015?
The basketball team, you know, they did fairly well. Went to regionals, and we're looking forward to watching them play again this year. Wrestling, we had one of our assembly members' son, Russell Phelps' son, Logan Phelps, took fourth in state this year. So we're all pretty impressed with that. He did a great job. Tough little guy. And, you know, the drug problem, it's still around, but it seems to have quieted down a little around here. We're still working on that. You know, we want to make sure that our future is a lot brighter than the present.
All right, Mayor Anderson, as you look forward to 2016 here, and as you mentioned, there's kind of a dark cloud hovering about the state's fiscal tough spot. But what do you see on the horizon? Are there some good things to look forward to? Are there some challenges coming up? What's on the borough's plate?
Well, I don't think it's just on our borough plate. It's going to be on everybody in the state's plate. And, you know, I look at these challenges as a fact that without challenges like this, we wouldn't have perseverance. And that is what has made our state, and not only our state, but our country, a great place. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, but, you know, in the long run, it only makes us stronger. And hopefully we'll find new outlets and new ways to get things done. And, you know, we do have some more dock expansion that we are planning on doing, and we've actually got some sewer expansion too because of the influx of canneries around. So we're actually putting those jobs up to bid here sometime after the new year, and we're all pretty excited about that. To get the funding that we needed to be getting our sewer project done is kind of a huge deal for us, being, you know, one of the largest fishing industries in the world. So we'll get that done and create some more jobs and make some more people happy. And another good thing is we're looking to renovate our school for the weather challenges and make sure it's a lot more efficient.
All right. Carl Anderson is the mayor of the Bristol Bay Borough. Carl, we wish all of you there the best in 2016, of course, and thanks for making time. Appreciate it very much.
Yep. I hope everybody in the Bristol Bay has a lovely year, and hope they had a lovely 2015. Happy New Year.
This is Bristol Bay and Beyond on KDLG. Katmai National Park and Preserve has been making incredible strides in reaching out to the world through the internet. Of course, the bear cams you know about, made possible by explore.org, those stream live from Brooks Falls to millions of people through the summer season. But also through its normal nps.gov webpage and on Facebook, the Park Service is recording huge amounts of web traffic, which they say is helping the park with its mission of conserving unique areas and providing this and future generations with the opportunity to enjoy them. Yesterday, Katmai announced its most popular Facebook post of 2015, and visual specialist Mike Fitz joins me now to discuss. A 44-second video that was filmed back in 2007 topped your list of most popular. Describe for the folks who haven't seen it yet what this video portrays. And, you know, it's a little bit different than many of them because it's not just about the iconic bears.
Yeah, of course, people are very used to seeing pictures and videos of bears fishing at Brooks Falls.
But occasionally we have other critters that will come down and fish for salmon too. And this video shows a wolf that came down to Brooks Falls, was quite skilled at catching fish, stuck its head in the water a couple times, pulls out a salmon, runs up into the forest. We don't know where it went, but it back in 2007, it came back and did this over several days and was catching a lot of fish. So it was quite neat for the people on the ground to see, but it was, I wanted to share that with people who didn't have the chance to visit it, so that's why we ended up posting it.
So you posted this video back in March, and tell me how, I don't know, is viral the right term, but tell me how many clicks it got over the year.
I think viral is the right term for it. We ended up seeing that it was extremely popular, shared by many, many people, and over the course of the year, it got over 2 million views.
The amount of web traffic that Katmai and its various outlets of how it provides information is just enormous, right?
Yeah, it's actually incredible. The amount of hits we get on the webcams on explore.org, our bear cams, exceeds our actual physical visitation in the park by a couple orders of magnitude at least. So we only get maybe 30,000 people visiting Katmai physically each year, but we get millions and millions of people watching on the webcams, which is quite incredible. We've discovered that it's really developing a sense of stewardship for Katmai all over the world.
They're attempting to help even follow along bear health, help notify if they think a bear has died. We saw that happen this year, and then even offer some conjecture on why the bears may have died. Tell me how you sort of interpret that.
Yeah. People, obviously, when they see an injured bear or an injured animal, I think people empathize with it. It's hard to watch an animal, suffer through an injury or illness. And at the end of October, we had a bear cub that was dying on the cam. And it wasn't a quick death. It wasn't attacked by another bear and killed. It was actually overtaken by an illness. And we didn't know what illness at the time. And it died slowly over a couple of days. So people were very concerned, obviously, about this cub's welfare. Many of them kept sort of a vigil, watching this cub for nearly 2 days, keeping track of its breathing rate, taking notes of any other wildlife activity in the area. Finally, a couple of our wildlife technicians were able to go out after we had confirmed through the webcams that it had actually died. They collected it and they sent it off to a lab, and found that it ended up dying from infectious canine hepatitis. So the webcam viewers, there was of course rampant speculation, but that was a very, very interesting situation. And we see, people with concerns about the welfare of the animals. And also one of the interesting things is that people are very, I guess you could say, they're very interested in the welfare of the salmon too, because the whole phenomenon of what they watch in the webcams that drives them there. They're very interested in the bears, but of course, the salmon have to be there to attract the bears. And without a healthy salmon population in the area, then we wouldn't have this phenomenon of bears. So they're becoming stewards, of course, of bears, but through that, they're becoming stewards of clean water and sustainable fisheries.
Oh, very interesting. In talking with some park and refuge staff over the years, I've gotten a sense there's a little bit of a competitiveness to driving social media clicks and traffic to websites and such. Do you have a sense on how much web traffic Katmai's various platforms brings in and how that compares elsewhere to the park service around the country?
I guess if you want to compare it to our physical visitation, our web traffic is very popular and maybe much more popular than most other national parks. To tell you the truth, I kind of chase other parks on Facebook, so I manage much of what goes on Katmai's Facebook page. And right now we just have about 22,000 likes, but we're on pace to exceed, our physical visitation on likes on Facebook this year. And very few parks can actually say that they do that. Even, really big parks that are much more famous than Katmai around the world, like Yellowstone, won't be able to do that anytime soon. So I'm proud to say that, our web traffic definitely reaches a lot more people on our actual NPS.gov page. There's still a few other parks that beat us as far as web traffic goes, but when you again compare that to our physical visitation here, we sort of exceed anything else that they're doing.
Mike Fitz is a visual specialist at Katmai National Park and Preserve. You can find this year's most viewed video of a wolf and bear fishing side-by-side at Katmai's Brooks Falls at their Facebook page. And finally on this week's show, no need to call for a show of hands as to how many of us are making some sort of resolution or pledge to eat better, live healthier, or exercise more, or at all, this year. We probably all do that. Well, I'm pleased to be joined again by Dr. Kathy Heineman from the Kanakanak Hospital, who is here to offer some free medical advice along those lines. Dr. Heineman, good to see you again.
A pleasure to be here.
I feel like we did this last year.
Indeed, we did. And curiously, as I was coming to the interview today, I saw Dan O'Connell walking. Again, he was passing by my house, heading toward his house, presumably from the hospital, so the man is putting in 5.5 miles this morning before lunch.
Making the rest of us feel bad. Let's talk about making healthy choices in this year 2016, but let me ask you to frame it with some of the things that you see day-to-day, month-to-month.
One of the things that's really impressed me in the past several months, as I do the OB chart reviews on every pregnant person in Bristol Bay, is the screening tests that we do for diabetes at the start of pregnancy. Everybody gets a random sugar, and we run a hemoglobin A1C, which averages your sugar over 3 months. And I've been running into a lot of women who have hemoglobin A1Cs that are above the normal level. Normal level's 5.7. This has become very important to me because I had my yearly health screening, and indeed, my level is over 5.7, and I am disturbed.
Okay.
But
so what's this mean?
What this means for me personally and for the ladies that I've seen in their OB chart reviews is if you have more than one hemoglobin A1C over 5.7, that means you have prediabetes. If you have levels over 6.2, that means you've got diabetes. And having prediabetes is something that a person can take charge of. For instance, drinking sugary drinks is probably one of the things that causes many people's sugars to go up, and there's no particular utility in drinking soda pop. It doesn't give you anything but empty calories, and it's acidic, so it eats away the enamel at your teeth, and it causes you to gain weight.
What's a good target to cut back? What would you tell a patient? Go from 10 a week to half, or cut them out altogether?
One of the things that is recommended is don't believe that you're going to be a whole lot different tomorrow than you are today. Just like I saw Dr. O'Connell walking today, he's an example of steady consistency. So if you're drinking 10 sodas a day, don't think that you're going to go to zero sodas tomorrow. Maybe you will. But you should try to reduce by a small amount and continue to make small progressive changes in the direction you want to go. The other things that people can do to help prevent diabetes or to take charge of their lives if they have been told they do have prediabetes is to look at the size of the portions on their plate. If you look at the actual portion size for potatoes, for instance, it's 1/2 cup of mashed potatoes. That is a size of potatoes that's probably about the size of a hockey puck.
1/2 cup, that's one big spoonful.
Exactly. That would be a good place to not say, I'll never have another potato, but to instead cut back on the portion size.
All right.
Looking at the number of crackers or chips you eat is another easy place. And looking at the exercise side of things is also important.
Okay. Now, a lot of us will have exercise goals for the year ahead, and that's good advice. Let's come back to that in just a moment. But what else have you seen in 2015 that you believe many of us could make easy lifestyle changes for to improve on for 2016?
I think thinking about the amount of time that you spend still is something to look at.
And you're noticing this?
I'm noticing this particularly in children because we keep weight graphs on children. What I've noticed recently is that oftentimes a child's weight graph will be growing along a certain percentile, and I don't really care what the percentile is in the overall scheme of things, but if it's growing along the 50th percentile and suddenly they're at the 95th percentile, I can usually ask the child, gee, did you start playing video games when you were 7 years old? Because I noticed that your weight took a bump then. Usually there is some change in activity level from active play to more sedentary play with video games or watching more TV or being inside more, that the kid can even themselves, even at age 8 or 9, figure out that, yeah, that was what happened.
We've seen a number of articles published in this past year about the dangers of being too sedentary, that there's a number of health problems that come along with that. What are they in your mind?
Obesity, which is the major health problem of being too sedentary, leads to heart disease, high blood pressure, both of those, the high blood pressure can certainly lead to kidney disease. We are seeing more people who are requiring dialysis or having kidney failure around the region. Being sedentary also makes you weaker. So you just got to get out and move every day, some. Optimally, 30 minutes of physical activity, like brisk walking, is enough to prevent the health problems of inactivity. 60 minutes promotes health even more. I mean, more is better no matter what you're doing. If you wanted to lose weight by exercise, you need to do something like 90 minutes a day or more.
Doctor, you're also kind of on the front lines of things like drug overdoses and some severe alcoholism and such. Now, talking with the police department in Dillingham, they say that they're not aware of anybody dying this year from drug overdose deaths, which is an improvement over the last 2 years. Now, that's anecdotal. These numbers are very hard to track. But what are you seeing kind of on the front lines?
I believe that the number of hepatitis C cases, I have more information than I did the last time we spoke, and it is clear that the rate of new diagnoses of hepatitis C has gone up fairly significantly here in Bristol Bay. And that does say to me that people are doing behaviors that expose them to hepatitis C. It would seem, given the number of people we've seen with heroin problems, that IV drug use is a likely suspect in that scenario.
Okay. What can folks look to do different?
I am impressed in talking with folks that I've had interactions with who are using heroin, for instance, that so many of them have pain deep in their past. And it is difficult to deal with the emotional pains that one naturally gets throughout life. But there is always hope. I like to quote Dr. Ozer, who was a psychiatrist who worked here, about the things that are needed to change. One of his maxims was, how bad are you willing to hurt in order to get better? Mm. And I would encourage people who are having problems with the emotional pain of whatever may have initiated their troubles to at least consider this year as a year to start some counseling, so that they don't turn to alcohol to numb the pain or don't turn to drugs to numb the pain and take them out of the present.
Final thoughts for a healthy, happy 2016 from Dr. Kathy Heineman.
Enjoy yourself. Take charge of your own life. Get outside and walk. Eat healthier foods and feed your soul in some way.
Doctor, it's good as always to have you in, and we appreciate it so much. And, of course, wish you and yours a happy new year as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's show. You can find this and past episodes of Bristol Bay and Beyond at kdlg.org. Natalie Cole passed away last night at the age of 65. A Grammy Award-winning singer suffered years of health problems from drug abuse and kidney failure related to hepatitis C. She'll be missed. I'm Dave Benninger. Happy New Year's from all of us at KDLG, who are happy to be your hardworking source of news, information, and good radio all around Bristol Bay. Enjoy what seems to be a perfect day to get some rest if you were up a little late last night. And we'll see you back here next week.